Major League Baseball is here to stay right here.
This project is a home run and means so much more to us than sports.
40 years that we have been waiting for promises that were made. Well, we are waiting no longer.
This is what the community was promised, and this is what we will accomplish. This is what progress looks like. And our Rays are here to stay.
Welcome to our new podcast series, Here to Stay. I'm your host today, Neil Solons. Our latest segment is with St. Petersburg Mayor Kenneth T. Welsh, who just began the third year of his first term. Welsh is a third-generation St. Petersburg resident, and I started our conversation by asking about his connection to the historic gas plant neighborhood.
Well, you know, my connection goes all the way back to my birth, actually, Neil. So my grandfather had a wood yard right at 16th Street and 5th Avenue South, Welch's Wood Yard. And back then was a different time, but the boys worked in the wood yard and the girls worked at grandma's house. And, you know, my first recollections were, you know, folks coming to buy oak and pine that we would cut up. I was taught to use an axe and a chainsaw early. I still have my granddad's axe handle with me as a reminder of what hard work is. But that's the neighborhood I grew up in. And he had to move that wood yard in the 70s when the interstate came through, when I-175 literally goes right over, if you know where 5th and 16th is, that's right where he was. And there were a number of businesses. His sister had a restaurant across the street. There were several businesses in that quarter that were disrupted from that interstate coming in. A few blocks away, a couple of blocks north, a couple of blocks to the east, was our family church, Prayer Tower, where our whole family attended. My uncle Clarence Welch, who also was an educator, longtime science teacher at Azalea, was the pastor there. And there were a number of churches in the area, First Baptist, Bethel Metropolitan, and others. And so that whole area I knew as a neighborhood. It was a 10 or 15 minute neighborhood where you had residential, you had commercial businesses, you had houses of worship all in that area. And it's important to note it was that way because of redlining. So African Americans basically had to live in a couple of areas of town, and that was one of them. But it became a really vibrant area. You had all incomes. You could have a doctor living next to a laborer. And so I knew it as a neighborhood, and I kind of grew up that way. But again, after the first disruption of the interstates coming through, later on came in 1978 when I was at Lakewood High School, anchoring the award-winning offensive line, by the way. The city decided to declare that area an area of blight and an area for redevelopment. And obviously the community pushed back on that because it had already been disrupted by the interstates a few years prior. Now the entire area was asked to, you know, basically dislocate, dismantle this neighborhood in the interest of economic development. And so after a lot of debate, my other connection is my father, who was also an educator, was elected to the council in 1981, the St. Pete City Council. You know, so he was heavily involved in making sure that folks got just value for their properties. It was a back and forth, for example, with the churches that were relocated to get actual market value so they didn't have to go into debt in a new location. But, you know, those agreements were reached. But the promise was there'd be jobs, there'd be economic development, there'd be opportunities for those Black businesses that were dislocated and who lost their customer base to have a renewed ecosystem. And of course, those things never happened over the years as, you know, Tropicana feels surrounded by 86 acres of asphalt. So I've actually lived the history of the historic gas plant and Tropicana Field. And I really feel connected to not only the promises that were made, but the opportunity we have through our partnership with Heinz Race and the county to finally make those promises come to fruition and move our entire community forward. So I'm really excited about where we are right now.
And before we get to that aspect of it, with your personal connection, can you touch on maybe why is one of the first duties in your tenure as mayor you thought it was important to reissue the RFP.
Well, it was time to bring this, bring some certainty to this issue. You know, during the campaign in 2021, it obviously was one of the priorities that our community was talking about. You know, we needed certainty on the raise. We needed certainty on moving forward with a plan for honoring those promises of 40 years ago at the historic gas plant. As you know, there had been a previous RFP by my predecessor, Rick Kreisman. And what I promised folks is that we would get to a place of certainty on the raise and how we move forward on that entire 86 acres. And we'd also do it in the spirit of partnership. And I think that is really why we were so successful. We were also post-COVID, so a lot of things had changed. We were not sure about the demand for office space and some of the other parameters that were included in the previous RFP. But one of the big factors was you can't have a conversation about the future of the gas plant and a partnership with baseball if baseball, via the Rays, doesn't have an opportunity to be a part of that or have that discussion. And so that, for all those reasons, I decided to cancel the previous RFP and start a new process that was inviting to the Rays to be a part of that. We had discussions with the Rays, and my relationship with Brian and the Rays obviously goes back to 2006, 2007, when I was chair of the county commission. And so we had a good relationship, and I was confident if we had an opportunity for the Rays to be a part of this, that that would happen.
So when the Hines Rays proposal was chosen, elaborate on why or what were the most compelling reasons.
Well, we set out, we like to be straightforward in what we talk about. And it's really not complicated. You know, one of the things Mom always taught me, and she just turned 90, and happy birthday, Mom, is if you just tell the truth all the time, you don't have to worry about which lie you told to which person, right? So we're just straightforward. And so in the RFP, we put 23 principles. We wanted equitable economic development. We wanted inclusion for the minority business community that was uprooted. We wanted substantial affordable housing. We wanted a real tangible way to honor the historic gas plant, not just a trail or a plaque, but we want to try to rebuild that ecosystem that existed. And the Rays and Hines were super responsive to those principles. They not only respected our approach to equitable economic development, but they embraced it. They brought a capacity, and one of the things I'm really concerned about is our ability to actually get this done, not just have an agreement that looks good on paper, but we need to be able to implement this over 20 years. And certainly the Rays have a track record of 25 years in our city and county, and Hines brings capacity and capability in terms of what they bring to the table, their experience, but also their equity. And I was very confident that they were the best proposal to make this actually come to fruition.
Since you brought up the 23 guiding principles for the project, can you elaborate a little bit on how that really helped inform your decision?
Yeah, well, the responses to me really illustrated what the partnership would be with each group. You know, some were just pie in the sky. You know, we can do this at no cost to the city or county. Some wanted to repurpose Tropicana Field and cut off the top of it and make it a retractable roof. And then you had two that I thought were actually really good: Sugar Hill and the Hines Rays group. Again, the experience, the practical experience of Hines Rays makes a difference. They've done these kind of urban projects before. We toured Truist Park recently. And my experience with the Rays and the County Commission, I've served 20 years on the County Commission. So I've had an opportunity to work with this current ownership group, and we've always had a great relationship, and they've always come through with the promises that they've made on different issues. So at the end of the day, the strength of the Rays-Hines group made the difference for me. And I announced that last year at our State of the City. And we promised we'd come to a term sheets by the end of summer. I think we made that deadline by 3 days. We've already presented that to city council. We've also presented to the county commission, got a very good reception from our partners at the county commission. And so I'm really excited about where we are. My thought going in, and it's, I think, been validated, is that we are so strong and we recognize the value of our partners. And so from day one, the city, our city council has been kept in the loop. We reached out to our county commission. Barry Burton, the county administrator, has been an integral part of our team, along with our own city administrator, Rob Gerdes, and his team. It's been a partnership since day one. And when you can craft that kind of partnership with the strength that the county brings to their bed tax, you know, they're paying actually a little bit more than the city is on this. For the Rays and Hines to step up and be a substantial partner and pay more than half of the stadium costs. That is a real partnership that I thought could bring this to pass. And we're at the brink of making that happen.
Listening to your favorite podcast? That's smart. Earning your degree online from Southern New Hampshire University? That's really smart. With 24/7 access to coursework, no set class times, and dedicated student support, you can go to school when and where it works for you. Low online tuition means you can even do it for less. And dedicated student support means we'll be with you from day one to graduation and beyond. Join a community of learners just like you. Go to snhu.edu today to start your free application.
With all that said, and all that you know to this point, what are you looking forward to most for St. Petersburg and also that community that you're so connected to?
The opportunities that are coming, I don't think folks really grasp the kinds of opportunities that are coming in terms of not only collaboration, you know, the creation of 30,000 jobs during the construction phase. And these are not just temporary jobs, they're career paths, in my view. They're a way to connect kids into the construction trades and the construction carpentry. And so many of these are not just the traditional way we think about those trades, but there's a lot of technology involved in it, a lot of engineering concepts. So what we want to do is build this academy where we get folks into the proper training lane for the particular trade they want to go into. It's something that we've been talking about outside of the historic gas plant with folks like Tanja Williams, the SPC president, and with USF St. Pete and with Pinellas Technical College, to connect young people and all people really to trades that can really pay them a great income. For example, St. Pete College has a program for their linemen. It's a program, and I'm a old Florida Power guy. And they go through St. Pete College. You come out with a certificate to be a Duke Energy lineman, making $60,000 right out of the gate. It's that kind of empowerment of folks for real career paths that can come out of this. So building that academy and getting folks into a path that can really change their economic life for them and their family is really important to me. And that will lift up our entire community. So it's the job opportunities, it's the wealth building opportunities, and a whole list of other things, you know, addressing office space needs that we have in our city and county. The affordable housing, 1,200 units of affordable and workforce housing coming out of this, not to mention the $50 million in community benefits. That includes another $15 million for affordable housing, $10 million for the Woodson African-American Museum of History, and then a whole set of $25 million for economic uplift in our community. Again, going back and honoring those promises when the business community was dislocated back in the 80s. So there is so much in this. My concern is that our workforce is ready, that we've got enough vendors, that we've got enough folks that want to work in the construction and then in the permanent jobs after, that we've got enough small businesses that are have the capacity to participate in this $6.5 billion of economic development and investment that is coming. So it's almost like the dog that caught the car. We caught it, and now is the community ready to participate in this economic opportunity that is coming. And that's what we'll be focusing on now. It's great to have reached this point. Now we got to make sure we connect folks to these opportunities that are coming.
Well, we appreciate your work to this point, and we look forward for what's to come and appreciate you sharing your connection to this story and this development project.
Thank you, Neil. And of course, something I cannot leave out is our Rays will be here to stay in one of the best ballparks in the nation, and it will integrate with St. Pete and be a real St. Pete's flavored development that'll blend with our city and what we're becoming. I'm excited about that. There's really so much to be excited about, and we just need a couple of votes to get there. And so we'll be working with City Council to make sure that happens.
Thanks so much to Mayor Kenneth T. Welch for joining us on the third segment of our series, Here to Stay. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk with you soon.